The XPRIZE aims for the moon with help from Google. Transport Canada orders more Q400s grounded for inspection. And the U.S. Senate sides heavily with pilots over 60. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, September 14th, 2007. The XPRIZE Foundation and Google had a huge announcement on Thursday. The Google Lunar XPRIZE will be a robotic race to the moon to win a share of a $30 million purse. Private companies from around the world will compete to land a privately funded robotic rover on the moon, roam the lunar surface for at least 500 meters, and send video, images, and data back to the Earth. First prize is $20 million. Bonus prizes will be won by successfully completing additional mission tasks, including roving longer distances, less than 5,000 meters, imaging man-made artifacts, for example, Apollo hardware, discovering water ice, and surviving through a frigid lunar night, about 14 and a half Earth days. The feed from spacecraft high-definition video and still cameras will be viewable by the public on the Google Lunar XPRIZE website. Dr. Peter Diamandis, who is chairman and CEO of the XPRIZE Foundation, put out a worldwide call for participants. Quote, "We are confident that teams from around the world will help develop new robotic and virtual presence technology, which will dramatically reduce the cost of space exploration," unquote. The foundation calls the moon a stepping stone to the rest of the solar system and a source of solutions to some of the most pressing environmental problems faced on Earth, energy independence and climate change. You can read more details on our website at aero-news.net, and Aero TV will have coverage of the announcement soon. Officials with Transport Canada have called for immediate visual inspections of all Bombardier Q400 turboprop regional airliners following two landing gear failures on Scandinavian Airlines jets this week. The airworthiness directive, issued late Wednesday, also calls for more detailed inspection of all Q400s with over 8,000 flight cycles or in service more than 4 years. Several airlines around the world, including Qantas, Lufthansa, Flybe, All Nippon Airways, Austrian Airlines, and Japan Air Commuter, operate over 160 Q400s. All have grounded the affected planes in their fleets until they can be inspected. U.S. regional carrier Horizon Air was hit particularly hard by the call for inspections, canceling 120 flights out of its daily average of 500 on Wednesday. Quote, "Horizon is canceling 156 flights on Thursday. Additional cancellations are also expected on Friday, as Horizon works through the inspection requirements," unquote. On Wednesday, the U.S. Senate approved a transportation funding bill, which includes a provision raising the mandatory airline pilot retirement age to 65 from 60. The bill passed 88-7. The Federal Aviation Administration had already announced it was studying the change, but the Senate bill would make the change immediately. The bill also contains spending well above limits requested by the Bush administration, pretty much ensuring it a veto. Even though the margin of passage in the Senate is well beyond the two-thirds majority needed to override any veto, a companion bill in the House is not as certain to survive. Congress has another obvious opportunity to raise the mandatory retirement age for airline pilots during FAA reauthorization, which must be passed in some version by the end of this month. International rules now allow pilots up to 65 to continue flying airliners, provided there's a co-pilot no older than 60 on the flight. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association told ANN this week three more air traffic controller trainees have resigned from the Oakland Air Route Traffic Control Center in Northern California over the past week, bringing the total number who have quit to 14 in the past year. The union says a normal year sees only one or two resignations at this facility. NATCA says there are currently 161 fully certified controllers on staff at Oakland ARTCC, which the union asserts is 98 short of what's needed, and even short of the absolute minimum of 175 controllers called for by FAA standards. FAA Western Region spokesman Ian Greger tells ANN those numbers are simply not accurate. He says there are actually 171 certified controllers at Oakland, as well as 94 developmentals. Of those developmentals, or controllers in training, 59 are certified to conduct at least some air traffic control operations. As for staffing problems at Oakland Center, Greger says, quote, "I don't think it's anything unusual. We expected a wave of controller retirements as those hired after the PATCO firings in 1981 become eligible. We have a plan in place to handle that," unquote. Greger also addressed consistent union claims that overtime and misrepresentation of pay to new recruits are problems at Oakland. Quote, "Controllers do not generally work overtime or six-day weeks other than for training purposes. They are also using all of their annual leave. When someone requests a vacation, it isn't denied. This shows we've staffed properly. People enter this job with their eyes wide open. The pay isn't a secret. We made it clear for the better part of a year what we intended to do with pay, to bring it more in line with other government positions. We're confident that we're training the right number of controllers to replace the controllers that we expect will retire or move to other facilities in coming years," unquote. Up next on ANN, Eclipse opens its customer training center in Albuquerque. NTSB issues recommendations for the Cessna Citation 525. And in a world of defeats, Northwest flight attendants savor a small victory. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 14th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Eclipse Aviation Thursday held a grand opening ceremony for its customer training center in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The 41,000-square-foot center is located on 3.5 acres of Eclipse Aviation's 150-acre tract, which borders the northern boundary of Albuquerque's Aerospace Technology Park at Double Eagle II Airport. In the coming weeks, training personnel will start moving their offices to the facility. The company plans to employ about 100 people at the center when it's in full operation. Eclipse is committed to an extensive pilot training curriculum that will prepare customers for real-world operation of their Eclipse 500s. The company says it will have 4 full-motion simulators operational by the end of 2008. In response to an accident in 2003, the National Transportation Safety Board issued 3 recommendations to the FAA Thursday, addressing runaway trim controls on the Cessna Citation 525. In that accident, a pilot reported setting the plane's autopilot for a climb out to flight level 330 after departing Victoria International Airport in British Columbia. Passing through 14,000 feet, the plane's rate of climb decreased. When the pilot disengaged the autopilot, the plane pitched nose down about 10 degrees. The board reports that a pitch trim relay had failed in the down position, and the only way to stop it would have been to identify the correct circuit breaker among 60 identical breakers in the panel and then pull it. Both the 80-year-old pilot and his passenger pulling back on both yokes could not overcome the force of the runaway pitch trim. They ended up ditching the plane gear up in Penn Cove, about 300 yards from shore. The pilot, his passenger, and his pet Labrador retriever escaped injury. The NTSB notes that Cessna has corrected the relay problem in response to an FAA airworthiness directive. All Citation 525s now come with an AP out-of-trim warning light above the altimeter to alert the pilot if the trim is in runaway. However, the board wants more, starting with an aural indicator, contrasting color bands on the pitch trim wheel, and a colored collar on the pitch trim circuit breaker. The board also wants the FAA to force Cessna to demonstrate that the maximum control forces in a Citation 525 meet the certification requirements of Part 23 during a pitch trim runaway, and design a remedy if they don't. The union representing Northwest Airlines flight attendants, the AFA-CWA, is cheering a judge's decision not to award bonuses to law firms which represented the airline and its creditors through bankruptcy. The Detroit Free Press reports that U.S. Bankruptcy Court Judge Alan Gropper was asked to approve a request for $3.5 million from Cadwallader, Wickersham & Taft LLP, which represented Northwest during its bankruptcy, and another one for $700,000 for Otterburg, Steindler, Houston, and Rosen PC, which represented Northwest creditors. In his ruling, Gropper said the roughly $500 an hour both firms charged already was enough. He noted that neither law firm did anything particularly remarkable to warrant the added pay. A total of 24 law firms received a total of almost $119 million in fees and another $5.4 million in expenses for their work on the case, according to the newspaper. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration says it's facing a challenge getting its shuttle missions off on time for the rest of the year, and it has nothing to do with the space-going hardware. Florida Today reports NASA has lost use of one of its tall bays in the vehicle assembly building because years of exposure to the salt air along the Florida coast has left doors so rusted they might stick shut when it came time to roll a shuttle out to the launch pad. The 45-story high doors were supposed to be replaced last year, but work is way behind schedule. Repairs are now due to be wrapped up by November 1st. That may be too late to allow Atlantis to keep its date with the International Space Station in early December. The one working bay is tied up by the shuttle Discovery, which is getting repairs made to its infamous foam insulation. The launch window is tight for delivering the European Space Agency's Columbus Science Lab to the International Space Station. Due to the position of the station relative to the sun, if Atlantis doesn't launch by December 13th, it'll have to wait until next year. Still ahead, Rockwell Collins debuts a heads-up GPS for helmets. SpaceX gets an order to launch a geosynchronous satellite. And Nigeria's Eric Air places another order with Boeing. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, September 14th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Rockwell Collins has introduced ParaNav, a helmet-mounted navigation system for parachutists. ParaNav is a personal, GPS-based flight management system with an integrated heads-up display. It allows skydivers to accurately fly to their designated landing zones or divert to alternate sites with the same level of accuracy. Rockwell Collins announced the launch of ParaNav at the Defense Systems and Equipment International Exhibition in London. The company says the device has proven itself through more than 100 test jumps at maximum altitudes of 28,000 feet and at temperatures of 20 degrees below zero. Rockwell Collins developed the first-generation military GPS user equipment in 1979 and is evaluating ParaNav with potential military customers. I'll bet there'll be customers if the price comes down to where hang gliders and ultralight pilots can afford it. Private sector space companies are continuing to pass important milestones. Space Exploration Technologies Corporation, more commonly known as SpaceX, told ANN Thursday it has signed a contract with UK-based Avanti Communications Group for the launch of the HILAS Ka-band satellite to geostationary transfer orbit on board a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. Of the seven Falcon 9 launches on the SpaceX manifest, this will be the company's first commercial geostationary telecommunications customer. The contract also includes options for up to three additional satellite launches, which could push total value of the contract to $150 million. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk calls the deal a major endorsement of SpaceX. Quote, Falcon 9 is designed to the higher standards and safety margins required to carry astronauts for NASA, making it well-suited for high-value satellite missions, unquote. Liftoff is scheduled for sometime between March 31, 2009 and the end of that year. The HILAS satellite will provide broadband and data communication services to European customers in 22 countries with an expected lifetime of 15 years. It's a big order for Nigeria's newest commercial airline. On Thursday, Eric Air announced an order for 10 Boeing 737-800s, 4 787-9s, and 1 777-300ER. The order's valued at about $1.8 billion at list prices. In April, Eric Air took delivery of 2 737s and announced an order for 7 more Boeing airliners to initiate the largest and most aggressive fleet modernization program in Nigeria's aviation history. Eric Air is Nigeria's fastest-growing privately owned airline and serves over 11 domestic routes with a fleet of 16 airplanes. The airline is also playing a pivotal role in the improvement of Nigeria's aviation infrastructure. Boeing reports the Eric Air order represents the 1,004th order for the 777 family and takes orders for the upcoming 787 Dreamliner to 710 from a total of 48 different carriers. And finally, another woman has come forth to complain about the so-called dress code on Southwest Airlines. You may recall last week's episode when 23-year-old Hooters waitress Kayla Ebert was finally asked to cover up with a blanket if she wanted to remain aboard her flight. Now, Sitara Kasim says she was also approached by an employee as she was flying to Burbank last June. She said a Southwest flight attendant told her to cover up with a blanket because her outfit was too revealing. Southwest Airlines issued a statement about last week's issue with Ebert, saying there was concern about her revealing attire on the flight that day. As a compromise, quote, "We asked her to adjust her clothing to be less revealing. She complied and she traveled as scheduled. We don't have a dress code. We rely on our employees to use common sense, good judgment, and good taste. It's so rare for us to have to address a customer's clothing issue," unquote. Southwest probably wishes these stories would just go away. The irony is hard to escape. 35 years ago, Southwest would have been hiring these women and issuing them the company's then standard uniforms, hot pants. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Ben Shalef, CEO of the Spaceward Foundation, which will hold a competition in Utah next month for experimenters working on tether climbing spacecraft. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.